on this New Year's Day morning, I really just want to share with you or plant in your minds seeds of thoughts for you to nurture, for you to water a little and tend a little and hopefully cause to grow and to bring them to fruit in your lives. And the thoughts really stem from verse 2 of Psalm 84, which we read earlier in our service. The psalmist says, "My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And so these thoughts that I want to share with you focus on this idea of longing for the living God. It was Blaise Pascal, a mathematician, a philosopher, and a Christian, who said something along the lines that in every human heart there is a God-shaped vacuum. By which he meant that everyone within them longs for something that is of a God-like nature, something bigger than themselves, something greater than themselves, something more powerful than themselves that would bring meaning and purpose to their lives. And that really is the first seed, if you like, that I want to plant in your minds. The idea that, in a sense, longs for God. There's evidence of that throughout the world in different ways. The very fact that there are so many religions in the world is an indication that people are seeking to fill this vacuum in their heart, this empty space that cannot be filled by man himself, that needs something outside of mankind, greater than mankind, to bring purpose, bring a sense of meaning into a person's life. And so people have pursued this desire to fill this hole in different ways. And hence so many different religions where people have recognized this need and sought to fill this hole. And of course, they've done it according to their own understanding, according to their own wisdom, according to the philosophizings of their own minds. And so much of the time they've missed the truth, they've missed the reality that there is indeed a God whom we can come to know, a God who has revealed himself in nature. We've sung about the goodness of God and how the goodness of God is praised by nature, that we see it in the birds of the air, we see it in the fish of the sea, we see it in the way this world works. We see evidence of God's power in the wind, in the waves. We see evidence of God's care in the way the birds and the animals care for their young. We see evidence of God's majesty in the mountains, of his vastness in the stars of the universe, in his concern for the minute details of life, in the microscopic world around us. Nature itself bears evidence to the fact that there is a God, that there is someone out there greater than ourselves. Indeed, atheistic scientists are themselves beginning to acknowledge more and more today that there is something there that must have designed this world in which we live. Science throughout history has made new discoveries, has moved on, what was once the in-vogue idea becomes old and outdated. And we see this happening within scientific circles with regard to evolution, which claimed that there was no need for any such thing as God, and sought to disprove the existence of God. Well, those ideas are becoming outdated now, outmoded, and increasingly even non-Christian scientists are saying, well, the evidence is there that something, someone, somehow designed purposefully this world in which we live. Nature itself says there is a God. People have this God-shaped vacuum, this recognition which may not be conscious, but is nevertheless there, that there is something greater than ourselves worth knowing, even serving. And they search for it in different ways. But of course, this psalm goes much further than that very general way of acknowledging that there is a God. This psalm is much more specific. The psalmist says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord, of Yahweh. He's naming his God here. It's not just a general power out there, but he's essentially saying, there is a God, and I can know him. And of course, if we're Christians this morning, then there is in our hearts a longing, a yearning for this God whom we know. Recognizing that our knowledge of him is so small, so limited. Know him better. We want to understand his ways more clearly. We want to recognize his work in our lives. We want to be able to discern his hand at work in various situations in our lives, not just in the good things, but in the difficult things as well. Why, Lord, why are you doing this to me now? Why have you brought these experiences into my life now? What do you want me to learn from this? Is the cry of the believer in Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, to have personal fellowship with this God who can be known, with whom we can have a relationship. He has revealed himself. And the Christian longs to have a greater intimacy with this God. How often have you felt, oh, if only I could pray more effectively. If only my fellowship with God was more consistent. If only I felt more of his presence, more of an attachment to him and an intimacy with him. It can be depressing at times to read diaries such as those written by David Brainerd, who seem to have such an intimate communion with God that we feel is light years away from where we are as a Christian. And yet when you read even the diaries of David Brainerd, what do you find but a longing, a yearning to know God and have fellowship with God on a higher level than even he had. Well, that's the yearning of every true believer. To grow in our knowledge of God, in our fellowship with God, in our service for God. We want it now. We want it today. And that is right, that the longing should be there. Whoever wrote this psalm, it's attributed to the sons of Korah. Others suggest that throughout this psalm there's the echo of David's writings. And certainly if it was David who wrote this psalm, he knew what it was to be banished from where God was worshipped, in the temple, or for him at least in the tabernacle. He knew what it was to be hiding out in caves in the mountains, to not have access to the place of fellowship and worship of God. And we can understand then his longing. I faint for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He wanted it there as he hid in a cave in the mountains. He wanted it there as he traveled from town to town, city to city, always on the run from his persecutor, from his enemy. And we should have that longing day by day to know God's presence, to be with God, to have intimate fellowship and communion with God. It should be our increasing desire from day to day, from week to week, as we progress through our lives. And of course, we long for that day when Christ will come again. That day when the sufferings and the hardships that we go through in life here in this world will be done away with forever. When every sorrow will be removed. Where the tears will be wiped away. Where there will be peace and harmony and joy forever. We long for that day if we're true Christians. We cry out as the Apostle John did in his book of Revelation, when the Lord says he is coming quickly, he says, "Amen, Lord, come quickly." And that should be the desire of our heart, that God would come. Christ would come even today and bring everything to their conclusion. But this psalm goes further even than that. It becomes even more specific than an individual Christian's longing for fellowship with the living God. And this whole psalm is focused on knowing God, having fellowship with God in the house of God, among the people of God. It begins, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." And in that context says, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." You see, he doesn't just want to know God personally, to have fellowship with God personally, as important as that is. But he wants it with God's people, in the place where God has prescribed that he should be worshipped. Goes on to give this wonderful picture of the sparrow and the swallow finding a nesting place among the people of God in the house of God. "Blessed are those who dwell in your house," he concludes. You see, this psalmist longs for God among the people of God. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Well, pilgrimage isn't something we're particularly familiar with. But to any Jew reading this psalm, they would have known immediately what the psalmist was talking about. 3 or 4 times a year, the nation of Israel gathered together at Jerusalem to celebrate one of the feasts. They would travel enormous distances by foot. They would take, some of them, a number of weeks to get there. And along the way, at each halting place, other people from different directions would join them, and gradually the band of people travelling to Jerusalem would grow and grow. And as they made that journey, they would sing together, praising God together. "Blessed is the man," the psalmist says, "who is part of that. Even the desert places become water springs as these people pass through. Not literally, but such is the joy of being with God's people in anticipation of meeting with God and fellowshipping God together, that this whole journey, as arduous as it may be, becomes a precious thing, a blessed thing. Such is the importance in this man's mind of meeting with God among the people of God. A day in your courts is better than a thousand. One day in the place of worship of God is better than a thousand days spent doing any other activity. That's what he's saying. I wonder how often we feel like that. Another Sunday, we drag our feet all the way to church. And we can't wait to get home again afterwards. I feel like that at times. I'm sure you do too. But here was a man who longed, who yearned for those times together with God's people, worshipping the living God. The corporate experience was more important to him than the personal experience. And that is the picture throughout the scriptures, in both the Old and the New Testament. Indeed, when we are given pictures of heaven, the pictures of heaven that we're presented with are always in a corporate setting, in worshipping the living God together with Christians, fellow believers, and with the angels of heaven. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Do we long for the living God in our lives? Do we yearn to be with him in his presence among his people, worshipping him as he has taught us in his word? So this is the seed that I want to sow in your mind for you to think about. Are you longing for the living God? Has that longing for this God-shaped vacuum been met? Has that been somewhat filled for you? Have you found God? Have you experienced the mercy of God and been brought into fellowship with God? Has that first step been taken for you? Do you long for the living God in your personal life? To walk more closely with the Saviour? To live more consistently in the image of Christ? Has that longing perhaps been somewhat met, somewhat fulfilled over the years of your Christian walk? Do you feel that something of that longing that you had when you first became a Christian to know God better and to serve him more faithfully, has it been somewhat met? Well, continue to nurture that longing, to grow it. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, said, "You know, I've not arrived yet. I'm not perfected yet." He still had a longing even then. And do you have a longing, as this psalmist had, a longing for the living God among the people of God? Not just a personal longing for God, but a corporate longing to worship God faithfully, to fellowship with God among God's people, to serve him among the body of which you are a part. And perhaps that too, to some degree, has been met. That longing has been fulfilled somewhat as you come Sunday by Sunday into other meetings of Grace Baptist Church. But we need more of this. A greater yearning to be here Sunday by Sunday. To come anticipating being with God, meeting with God, worshipping God with his people, looking forward to it with joy, not seeing it as another duty to perform, another day to get through, but rather to see it as a day that is better than all the other days of the week when we meet with God's people, when we worship him together. Well, may the Lord help us to long, to yearn for him more and more day by day, and to look forward to that day when our longings will be fully met as we are received into glory, accepted by the Father.